Chapter 10. Happy or Unhappy? 30 years after he arrived in London, Chanu decided that it was time to see some famous places. He bought a guidebook, a map, and a camera. He made a list of tourist attractions and warned the girls that they had to enjoy themselves. A hot Saturday morning at the end of July was the big day. As they sat at the front of the bus to central London, Chanu said, "How do you like your holiday so far?" Bibi said that she liked it very much. Shahana did not say anything. But Nazneen saw that Chanu was happy and decided to try her best to make his day special for him. They went to see Buckingham Palace first. Nazneen thought that the building was big but very plain. Shahana had her back to it.
"Look at this beautiful building, Shahana," said Chanu.
Nazneen said, "It's very clever of your father to bring us here." She asked questions about the palace so that Chanu could answer them. He happily read from his guidebook. Nazneen talked and laughed and asked as many questions as she could. After a while, Chanu looked at her with his head to one side.
"Are you feeling well? Too much sun, perhaps?"
She laughed again. She could not stop. She laughed so much that her stomach began to hurt. Shahana began to laugh as well, then Bibi. Shahana held her hand, and they both laughed so much that they cried. Chanu looked very proud.
"It is a lot of fun," he said.
Chanu wanted to take some photos with his camera, so everyone had to get into position. It took a long time, and even Bibi was unable to keep smiling.
"Come on, look happy," shouted Chanu.
Nazneen whispered to Shahana, "If you smile nicely, I'll buy you those earrings you wanted." Then Nazneen took a photo of Chanu with the girls, and finally, Chanu asked an American tourist to take a photo of all of them together. It was the first time they had stood together as a family for the camera. It gave Nazneen some hope for the future. For lunch, they had a picnic in St. James's Park, and afterwards, Chanu fell asleep on the grass. The girls went for a walk, but Nazneen stayed with Chanu. She thought about the last few weeks with Karim. She knew that what they were doing was a sin. But it was as if she had given herself up to a greater power which was controlling her. In bed with Karim, everything was both more real and less real. Sometimes she thought that maybe the power was inside her. But that could not be right. She did not have that strength. It was fate. Sometimes she felt sick with worry, but much of the time she felt good. She had spent more time talking to her daughters, and they surprised her with how clever and funny they were. She saw that her husband was a good man who loved his daughters. She had even found that she could work faster and better. She sang as she cleaned the flat. It was as if her time with Karim shone a new light on everything after a life lived in darkness. She had not been to any more meetings, and Karim said fewer and fewer people were going. The Lionhearts had stopped producing leaflets. Karim thought they were quiet because they were planning something. He was growing a beard and had begun to learn about Islam. He often talked to her about what he was learning. She was glad to listen to him while she washed the sheets to hide their sin. Chanu woke up and the girls returned from their walk, asking for ice creams.
"I'll go. I need a walk," said Chanu.
"Are you in love with him?" Shahana said when he was gone. "Your father is a good man. I was lucky in my marriage."
"You mean he doesn't beat you?" said Shahana.
"When you are older, you will understand," said Nazneen. but she felt proud of her daughter.
"Do you love him, Amma?"
asked Bibi.
Nazneen laughed. "You silly girls. Don't you think I love my family?"
On Monday morning, Nazneen was alone at home when Mrs. Islam knocked on the door. She came in, rubbing her bad leg.
"Carry my bag for me," she said weakly, and lay on the sofa.
Nazneen did not say anything. Chanu had realized that Mrs. Islam was cheating them and tried to stop paying. But then her sons had visited. He had agreed to £50 per week. So now, Nazneen went to the shelf and took down an envelope with £50 inside.
"How much money do you have, child?"
asked Mrs. Islam, her eyes closed.
"Just £50, as agreed."
Mrs. Islam opened her eyes. They were small and dangerous.
"I hear you're going back."
Suddenly, she did not sound so old.
"I don't know."
"Of course you don't. If you're planning to rob an old woman, then you should keep your mouth closed."
"I have your money here."
"But not all of it. £1,000 still owing, and you're going to run away."
"That's all I have."
"No, you have money for the plane ticket."
"I don't."
"When anyone is in need, they come to me. I give and I give. And then they run off to foreign countries and they say, 'Why should we pay her? She's just an old woman.'"
Nazneen went into the kitchen and took £20 from the money she was hiding under the sink for Hasina. She put it into Mrs. Islam's bag. Mrs. Islam got up.
"Don't look so sad. When you leave for Bangladesh, I will have a big party for you. Just finish paying what you owe first."
Razia and Nazneen were shopping for material. Nazneen asked about Shefali and Tariq. "Shefali is getting ready for university, and Tariq is going out much more," she laughed. "In fact, he's hardly ever at home."
"Where does he go?" said Nazneen.
"Who can say?" said Razia.
Nazneen had not forgotten what Dr. Azad had said at dinner. She had seen boys using drugs on the estate, and Karim had told her all about it. But how could she tell Razia that her son might be on drugs? The young woman in the shop was looking at Razia's unfashionable clothes. She did not look very impressed.
"These young ones," whispered Razia to Nazneen, "they don't know about respect."
"That's what Karim says," Nazneen said, before she could stop herself.
"Karim? The boy who brings the sewing for you?" Razia looked closely at Nazneen. "He's been keeping you busy." Nazneen studied some red material very carefully.
"Oh, yes, plenty of work."
When she looked up, Razia was still watching her. Nazneen suddenly felt that she had too many secrets. Karim, Tariq, Hasina, Mrs. Islam. She decided she had to start somewhere.
"So, we borrowed money from Mrs. Islam," she said.
Razia was shocked.
"Why?"
"To buy the sewing machine and the computer. We've been paying it back, but she always wants more."
"How much have you paid already?"
"I don't know, but a lot. It seems like we should be nearly finishing instead of just starting."
"Listen," said Razia. "She will always say you owe more interest. I know of one family who have been paying for 6 or 7 years.
"We have some money saved for going back to Dhaka. I don't know how much. Chanu has it in the bank,"
Don't let her touch that money, said Razia. She had chosen her material and went to pay. But when she opened her purse, her face changed. I only have £2. I thought I had £40. I probably left it somewhere. I'll give you the money, said Nazneen. But Razia would not take it. As they walked back home, Nazneen said, Dr. Azad says many of our young men are stealing to pay for drugs. He says that sometimes they steal even from their own parents. Razia looked straight ahead. I thank God that he has kept my children safe from this, she said. At home, the girls were watching television and Chanu was reading. After a while, he said, What is this rubbish you are watching, Shahana? Switch it off now. How do you know that it's rubbish if you don't even know what it is? Chanu turned off the television. Then he sat down again and held an arm out to his daughter. Come on, sit close. Shahana did not move. Nazneen felt a fight was coming. Go on, sit with your father, she said.
Don't tell her what to do, said Chanu. She isn't a child anymore. How is school, Shahana? Still top of the class?
Shahana turned her head a little. It's okay, she said in English. He spoke quietly.
When I was at school, I used to get very good grades, but still I haven't been successful here.
Don't worry about it, said Shahana.
You're right, but you know, sometimes I look back and I am shocked. Every day of my life I have prepared for success, worked for it, waited for it. You don't notice the days pass. Then you realize the thing you've been waiting for has already gone by, and it was going in the other direction. It's like I've been waiting on the wrong side of the road for a bus that was already full. I don't want you to have the same experience in this country. That's why we're going back home.
Imagine if you had bought this flat, said Shahana. Mr. Iqbal just sold his for £160,000. Chanu ignored her.
I'm glad we talked like this, father and daughter. Now get ready for bed.
That night, Nazneen could not sleep. She washed some clothes at the kitchen sink. Her mind was full of confused thoughts, as if a room full of people were shouting at her. She rubbed her head. How could she keep the peace between Chanu and the girls? And there was Karim. She felt sick. And then she was sick, all over the clothes she had just washed. She felt so guilty, as if she had just woken up with a dead body on the floor and a bloody knife in her hand. Then she saw Amma hiding in the corner of the kitchen. God sees everything, said Amma. Amma came closer and sat on the floor by Nazneen's feet. She smiled with yellow teeth. God tests us, she said. Come down here and I will tell you how to pass the test. She pulled Nazneen's nightdress so hard that Nazneen fell to the floor. Amma began to laugh, and her mouth became wider and wider, and the teeth became longer and more frightening, and Nazneen put up her hands to cover her face.